This is 89.9 WWNO. Yes, we're headed for another art-filled week. Are you making plans, or do you need some ideas? Well, you've come to the right place. Whether you're in the mood for an evening of classical music with an internationally acclaimed pianist, or a multi-sensory gallery adventure, it's all in the mixed media. Come along as we go inside the arts. Hi, I'm your host, Diane Mack. Kenny Broberg is one of the rising stars of classical music, winning the bronze medal at the 2014 New Orleans International Piano Competition, silver medal at the 2017 Van Cliburn Competition, and bronze medal at the 2018 Tchaikovsky Competition. He'll be back in the Crescent City Sunday to perform at the Musical Arts Society of New Orleans Nocturne Gala. WWNO's Fred Kasten has this profile.
Kenny Broberg grew up in Minneapolis.
I've pretty much known what I've wanted to do for, you know, since I was very little. I started on the violin, really grew towards the piano. Started piano when I was about 6 years old, and just never really wanted to do anything else.
Were you the kind of kid, even before you started lessons, that you'd toddle up to the piano as soon as you could reach the keys and start picking stuff out?
Yep, absolutely. I've always been nuts about music.
You're listening to Kenny Broberg's performance of the Bach Toccata in C minor at the 2017 Cliburn Competition. Competitions have been a very important part of your world. How do you approach those? Do you approach those as just another opportunity to get better at what you're doing because you have to practice so intensely before them?
Well, that's the healthy way to approach it. That's absolutely the way you should go about doing it. You know, competitions are intense, and it's like you got a bunch of concerts, you know, right in a row that you have to be extremely well prepared for. And, you know, there is a little extra incentive there.
In the form of cash, concerts, and recording opportunities for Kenny Broberg, hard-earned rewards for the intense work he's put in since age 6, including his bachelor's degree in piano performance from the University of Houston and now nearly complete postgraduate work at Park University just outside Kansas City, a city with a rich musical heritage, especially in blues and jazz.
A lot of classical musicians try to venture into jazz, and generally not very successfully because it's really, really a very different mindset. But yeah, I very much appreciate those art forms, and I appreciate the history that Kansas City has with that.
In New Orleans Sunday evening for Masno's Nocturne event, Kenny Broberg will open his recital with Bach's Toccata in C minor.
I can play a piece for years and years and then come back to it, and there's something new that I'd never noticed before. I've played that piece in a lot of competitions and a lot of concerts. And, there's always something new. And with Bach, you have the leeway that there isn't much on the written score, so you can really, everyone creates their own version of what Bach might be.
He'll also play the Beethoven Piano Sonata Number 31.
That's one of his greatest works, and it's actually very similar to the Bach in a lot of ways. I think Beethoven took a lot from the Baroque era for the construction of that piece and for the inspiration of it. So I think in that way they work very, very well together. Thank you.
The Sonata No. 31 is one of Beethoven's acclaimed final three works in the form.
They're some of his biggest accomplishments, not just in the piano repertoire, but in, you know, all of Western music, especially this A flat major. Well, all three of them, actually. None of them are particularly long, but they say about as much, you know, in that 20 minutes as, you know, as Mahler takes an hour to say.
Yes.
That's nothing against
Nothing
Mahler.
Against Mahler, right.
It just shows what Beethoven is capable of, you know, the economy of right. of his statements.
Broberg's recital will also include the Chopin Fantasy in F minor.
It's an unusual piece for Chopin because he didn't write too many pieces out of a that really stand alone in a particular form. So, you know, with scherzos he wrote four, ballades he wrote four, wrote lots of waltzes, mazurkas, sonatas. But Fantasy, he only wrote one. And really, it isn't as much of a fantasy as, you know, you think fantasy is a free-flowing structure. And it really isn't that. It actually has more in common with a scherzo, with the repetitious form. But it's still absolutely a, you know, masterpiece.
In addition to work by Chopin, Beethoven, and Bach, Kenny Broberg will offer a surprise or two for audiences at Nocturne. His relationship with Mazzano began when, as an undergraduate, he attended the organization's annual two-week piano institute and won its concerto competition.
Mazzano has been really, really great to me. They were very happy that a former student from their institute went on to compete and get a prize in the international competition they have there, and so they've been, you know, incredibly supportive of me, and even afterwards, especially after the Kleiberg and Tchaikovsky competitions, they brought me back and really developed a wonderful relationship with them. I'm very much looking forward to coming back.
Kenny Broberg returns to New Orleans for Mazzano's Nocturne Gala, Sunday, November 3rd at the Ritz-Carlton. Find out more at Mazzano.org. For 89.9 WWNO, I'm Fred Kasten.
You're listening to Inside the Arts on 89.9 WWNO, New Orleans Public Radio. I'm Diane Mack. The Contemporary Arts Center kicks off its 2019-2020 visual and performing arts season with a new director and a series of exhibits highlighting women artists and identity, headlined by internationally acclaimed collage-inspired Brooklyn painter Micheline Thomas. Executive Director George Scheer joins us with Chief Curator of Visual Arts, Andrea Anderson. Welcome to Inside the Arts.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
George, let's begin with you. Congratulations and welcome to New Orleans.
Wow, so good to be here. Thank you.
You certainly hit the ground running, taking the helm this month as executive director of the CAC and already opening a new season of visual and performing arts.
A little bit like landing a parachute on a moving sidewalk.
What is uppermost in your mind as you open a new season?
I'm excited about where this season projects us as an institution and how we are thinking about growth and change as we move forward. It's exciting to begin with such an incredible set of artists, both local and national. and to have this as a framework to begin engaging and meeting the community. I mean, that's my work, is to build relationships here and to be part of this place, and to have such a dynamic show going on in our space is really important to that.
Tell us a little bit about your background. Introduce yourself.
Sure. I grew up in Atlanta, Georgia, went to school in Philadelphia, and moved down to Greensboro, North Carolina, right after school to move into my grandmother's thrift store. I ran a residency and museum for about 16 years called Elsewhere. We describe a living museum and artist residency set inside the store. So from 1939 till 1997, my grandmother ran a store in downtown Greensboro and literally filled it three floors with stuff. 1,500 bolts of vintage fabric, army surplus from World War II, clothing, toys, objects, you name it. And we decided that nothing would be for sale and nothing would leave, which, as I joke, is a terrible business model.
Yeah.
But instead, we decided to transform an entire city, and really, in some ways, the way that residencies and artists were engaging socially and politically and thoughtfully utilizing this material. So the basic tenet was that nothing would be for sale and nothing would leave. And we would invite artists from all over the world to come and use these materials to make work that would become part of this ever-transforming museum. And we had about 50 artists a year. Would come in for about 16 years. This went on, and it continues to go on. I spent about 3 years in succession planning and transitioning new leadership to turn over this institution to the community in a real thoughtful way, and then was able to kind of pull myself out from under the rug and look for new opportunities and excitements. But it was an incredible experience, and it really challenged artists to think. They would come without proposals, and they would arrive into this world that was unfolding, and they would respond to the materials at hand and create work. For me, deeply, that artistic experiment and the way that audiences, publics, communities can engage so directly with the creative practice and get to know artists in their most creative moments, that to me is really a critical part of experiencing and engaging with contemporary art.
It sounds way cool.
It was super fun. It's still going. It's super great.
Yeah.
Check it out.
How were you attracted to New Orleans?
New Orleans is a beautifully, wonderfully challenging, complex place. And my considerations in all my work have always been around issues of place and the role and relationship of artists in transforming and helping make visible sometimes the invisible aspects of a place. When the CAC reached out and we began conversations, really understanding the lay of the land and understanding the challenges of New Orleans was something really special to think about. And it took some time and with some hesitancy and really to embrace this really complex challenge. I mean, the institution's incredible. Interdisciplinary, multidisciplinary art is a way of expression and, as I said, making things visible and bringing things to light. And so for me, that was kind of a natural connection. Seeing the space and understanding the CAC grew out of roots as an artist-run space, as a place that artists took over an old warehouse in the 70s, which people were doing, artists were doing all over the country, all over the world, and realizing that that legacy as a creative contemporary center stood to transform and to change and to think how it fit into New Orleans today was exciting.
So what can we look forward to under your leadership?
I'm thinking through a series of frameworks, and that's kind of how I'm guiding myself through. I'm very much of the belief that, like it elsewhere, right, you come to a place and you look around and you feel what is there and you meet people and you take time and you learn what is in place and you build from that. I'm not sort of a stamp or, you know, some vision that is sort of in front of me that I want to put here. But I do have to work through a framework. And so my thinking is that, you know, the CAC can be a touchstone for contemporary art. It should be an asset and a resource in a real material way for artists locally. And I think we can be a partner in conversations around art and equity that are related to what is happening here in New Orleans, but resonate nationally. And if we can figure out that position, then I think we stand to do some great work and really be an essential institution in this community.
Now, the new season, Andrea, starts with a bold series of exhibits highlighting female artists. Is there a common thread that ties the exhibits together?
There is. I think in some measure, all of the exhibitions that we are opening have to do with self-definition. I think with the incoming of George, we are thinking about that institutionally, and we're thinking about that nationally, and we are thinking about that in terms of our own personal experiences. I am delighted, as I am exhausted, to tell you that we are about to open 5 shows.
Wow.
As you mentioned, we're beginning with Micheline Thomas, Femme Noire, which is a project that's been in development for over 3 years. We are so overjoyed that her work will be returned to us, to the city of New Orleans, in an exhibition that looks specifically to her work in collage and montage, art forms that resist inherited forms and instead provide complex identity Reconstruction, drawing from both art historical roots, but also social and personal roots. This is an exhibition that's accompanied by a collaboration between McLean Thomas and local New Orleanians, Carla Williams, the owner of the store Material Life here in New Orleans, and her partner, Lila Ray. And this project, Femme Féroce, will bring together objects by artists and artisans of the African diaspora that have always informed and inspired McLean's work. On our second floor, we'll open Meg Turner, Here and Now, an exhibition of tintypes and built environments that examine and construct utopia. This project, I think, talks very much not only about possible utopias that exist already in our communities, but also those we might make and play a hand in making, the kind of future and experience of America that we choose to live in. And that will be alongside Ghanaian-American filmmaker Akosua Adama-Wosu. Her exhibition, Welcome to the Jungle, is a really immersive film installation. This is a project that we collaborated with the Wattis Institute in San Francisco, and we have taken individual filmic visual themes and pulled them out so that they project on the walls all around the viewer. So while you sit down and can enjoy one of her extraordinary films from her Hair Trilogy series, you will also be invited into that experience in a really physical, material way. Her work is exceptional in not only thinking about what W.E.B. Du Bois has described as double consciousness, but is really about exploring of a triple consciousness. She is a first-generation Ghanaian-American, which means that her identity in America has been complicated not only by her Black American experience, but also because so much of America feels removed to her from her African experience. And so this is a way for her to think about that as a composite construction. And last but not least is in our atrium, 10 years of New Orleans airlift we'll be celebrating with an installation of sounds and sails and buoys and all kinds of remaindered items from the organization's 2017 performance of New Water Music, which was composed by Yotam Haber on Lake Pontchartrain. These exhibitions kind of swim in between one another and shape each other. When I think about this season, I really think about all of these projects as invitations to McLean Thomas's living room tableaus, living room sets that are informed by her childhood, invitations to come and sit down and Material Life's pop up and play a game of cards inspired by important Black women, into Meg Turner's highway scenes and installations of films. So we hope you'll come in and sit down and stay a while.
Was it difficult for you to choose which works went into the show?
For McLean Thomas, her project is all recent work. So this will be a little bit different than the McLean Thomas people have seen perhaps before. This work will be different. There's painting that we know from McLean, but there's a lot of video work in this show, new mirror works. So looking not only at the history of collage, but also very specifically at moving image and at montage as well. These new works include, in part, a series based on the color purple. So you'll be seeing images that are drawn out from that particular filmic experience, which for her was incredibly defining in terms of recognizing her own life experience. This mixes also with a host of new mirror works that project images of women who have similarly were defining for her in terms of opportunities of who she might become. Those women shaped from Diane Carroll, who we're all remembering in recent weeks, to Diana Ross. So we'll see, I think, a lot of her heroes on the walls.
So we're dealing with celebrities.
Yes, Micheline among them.
Which of her works in the new show really grabbed you?
There is a particular piece called Mia's Muse, which is a very complicated piece. I don't think my preparator would share this preference with me because it includes many video monitors that are parts and pieces of McLean. And I think, and not just McLean, but other subjects that come into view to create a composite kind of portrait of a woman reclined. And I think of all the pieces in this exhibition, it's really a defining work because it draws from so many histories, and also very specifically, it draws from art histories to show and present McLean Thomas's work in a canon that goes back to painters like Manet, as much as painters like Picasso, and really inserts McLean Thomas in that profound kind of leadership of artistic voices.
When I think about McLean Thomas's work, the first thing that comes to me are jewels, rhinestones.
Mm-hmm.
Is she still using that technique in the new works?
You will see that in the very first, very large scale canvas that is presented as you walk and enter into the gallery. And you will see it in a back room, and then you will not see it in between. I actually find that rhythm between the familiar work, and then this moving through new media and new forms. But even between those first rhinestones and the last rhinestone, I hope the public will see a difference, really. A new approach to how she looks at the canvas, new ways of representing flat and three-dimensional space. So while she's using a lot of the same materials, she is upturning her own practice, which is what I love to see in an artistic practice, one that is changing and continuing to transform.
And this is a question for both of you. Tell me, what do you hope on this theme of identity will spark conversation among viewers?
I think that, again, art invites us to see things that are perhaps invisible to us. And through this question of identity and the kind of full immersiveness of these exhibition spaces, we're invited to see a visibility that perhaps we don't typically get to recognize or be a part of.
There is nothing about, I think, our identity that as we present them in the galleries that can be thought of as singular or independent. And I think for me, also seeing these projects come together in that kind of communion building wide has taught me a lot about identity itself.
George Scheer, Executive Director of the Contemporary Arts Center and Chief Curator of Visual Arts, Andrea Anderson. It's been a pleasure talking with you.
Thank you.
The Contemporary Arts Center kicks off its visual and performing arts season Saturday evening, November 2nd, 900 Camp Street, from 5:30 until 9. More info is online at cacno.org. That's our show for this week. Major support for Inside the Arts comes from the Hellas Foundation. Additional support comes from Le Petit Theatre. Our program is a production of WWNO and is archived at wwno.org. I'll be back with more ideas for your artistic palette on Tuesdays at 1 p.m., Wednesdays at 8:30 p.m., and a shortened edition on Thursday mornings at 8:45 when we'll go Inside the Arts. I'm Diane Mack.